the Nazis succeeded with stunning speed. In 1927, during a time of general prosperity, 77% of Prussian students insisted that the Aryan paragraph, barring Jews from employment, be incorporated into the charters of German universities. As a halfway measure, they fought for racial quotas that would limit the number of racially inappropriate students. In 1931, 60% of all German undergraduates supported the Nazi student organization. Regional studies of Nazi participation found that students generally outpaced any other group in their support for National Socialism. A key selling point for German youth was the Nazi emphasis on the need for increased student participation in university governance. Nazis believed that the voice of the students needed to be heard and the importance of activism recognized as an essential part of higher education. Foreshadowing a refrain common to American student radicals of the 1960s, like Columbia's Mark Rudd, who declared that the only legitimate job of the university was the creation and expansion of a revolutionary movement, the Nazis believed that the university should be an empowering incubator of revolutionaries first and peddlers of abstraction a very, very distant second. The Nazis' tolerance for dissident views sharply declined, of course, once they attained and solidified power, but the themes remained fairly constant. Indeed, the Nazis fulfilled their promise to increase student participation in university governance as part of a broader redefinition of the university itself. Walter Schultz, the director of the National Socialist Association of University Lecturers, laid out the new official doctrine in an address to the first gathering of the organization, wherein he explained that academic freedom must be redefined so that students and professors alike could work together toward the larger cause. Never has the German idea of freedom been conceived with a greater life and vigor than in our day. Ultimately, freedom is nothing else but responsible service on behalf of the basic values of our being as a folk. Professors who deviated from the new orthodoxy faced all of the familiar tactics of the campus left in the 1960s. Their classrooms were barricaded or occupied, threats were put in their mail, denunciations were posted on campus bulletin boards and published in student newspapers, lecturers were heckled. When administrators tried to block or punish these antics, the students mounted massive protests, and the students naturally won, often forcing the resignation of the administrator. What cannot be overstated is that German students were first and foremost rebelling against the conservatism of both German higher education and the older generation's bourgeois materialism. The churches, too, were suspect because they had become so closely associated with the old corrupt World War I regime. The students wanted to run the universities, which to traditional academics was akin to inmates running the asylum.